You are listening to a Nerd Room podcast production. We the Nerd. Bunch of nerds.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Nerd Room. We talk all things Star Wars, Marvel, DC, and beyond. This is episode number 392. We're discussing Joker 2, The Penguin Trailer, Thunderbolts with an asterisk, and X-Men, the animated series. I'm one of your hosts, Tim.
And I'm Ian.
Ian, welcome back to the Nerd Room. I'm very excited to have you here because we got a full slate of topics to cover this week, including the very much anticipated preview or teaser to the Joker trailer that is coming. We got a poster. We got a little bit more information what's coming from that soon-to-be blockbuster. And tagging onto the back of that, inside of the DC universe, we have also got a Penguin trailer that dropped a few weeks ago, actually. I think 12 days ago. So we missed out on that because of Ghostbusters. And then we also got some Marvel news with the Thunderbolts beginning filming, as well as a spoiler-free review of X-Men the Animated Series coming live from Japan from my good friend Ian, who has consumed that series. I've yet to do it, but he is here to tell you yes or no on X-Men 97. Ian, busy time in all of our lives, but I'm happy that you could jump back in here and we could just hang out and talk some nerd for a little bit here, brother.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. Yeah, I was kind of, again, always gutted that I can't get in every week. But it's also a good thing for me because I get to listen to the Nerd Room. And last week was a really great listen. I got to break into two parts. It was really fun hearing about the guys that you had on, Rob and Jamie, talking about, man, their love for Ghostbusters. And that was so good. Like, I loved the first part of that episode, just them talking about how contagious it is. Just like, you know, how they're now doing the whole cosplay thing and how they're customizing, you know, their proton packs and how they're, you know, even family, you know, are into this and they're watching these movies together. And, you know, it's just such a positive, fun episode to listen to. Which is really great. And then I got to watch Ghostbusters last Friday. Got come out a week later here, and yeah, it was interesting to make some comparisons on our thoughts. It's probably a good thing that I wasn't there last week, so you could have a nice positive one. No British criticism. And
I think Ian looked at it with a bit more critical of an eye than the three of us did last week. I referred to it a couple of times on the show as saying we were literally just yelling and screaming about Ghostbusters in general.
Yeah.
And I think we gave a lot of passes to the movie, but at the same time, I'm kind of happy that maybe it contrasts a little bit about what's out there because we just went into having fun and the contagiousness of that fun coming off of, especially Jamie, who's, you know, that's, it's his ride or die franchise. I had so much fun just smiling and goofing off and just talking about the movie. And yeah, hey, maybe it's full of flaws, but at that point in time, we were just looking at the positive spin on it and how much we love the franchise. And I think it's good. And that, you know, you and I talked about it online a little bit and, or over DMs or whatever. And yeah, of course there's those flaws are there. And I think everything that you kind of pointed out is founded inside of maybe some of the criticisms that we missed. But at the end of the day, you were just spinning this stuff around in circles and just having some fun with it. Just like we're going to have
Today. That's the key word, fun. And it was still the thing that I came out of that movie saying it was fun. Like, I enjoyed it. There was not something that kind of made me hate the movie at all. As you said, I was kind of probably nitpicking and taking some kind of critical aspects. Like, you know, judging some things a little harshly, maybe. But I mean, I did have a really fun time watching the movie. And to be honest, like, the cinema experience that I had watching that movie kind of took me out of it as well.
Yeah, you're saying.
I started to realize that, you know, when some people say they don't like going to theaters and they like watching stuff at home because of, you know, sometimes the people that are in the theater. And usually in Japan, you know, it's silent, it's great. And I actually had a bit of a bad experience with a couple of people that were in the theater. So, you know, just straight off, I was kind of in a bad mood starting the movie. which didn't really help. I think this is definitely one of those ones that if anyone's going to watch it, definitely go and watch it with your family. You know, if you've got kids, watch it with your kids, because I think, you know, seeing their reactions to it and, you know, hearing like, you know, what Rob talked about with his son as well, I think this is one of those movies that can be enjoyed by, you know, all generations. And I think, you know, you'd probably get a lot more enjoyment from it, seeing how especially younger people would react to this movie too. I'm not gonna say I dislike the movie, because I didn't. I do really hope people go to watch it, because I do want to see this franchise blow up, and I do want to see it
grow.
It'd be great to get a real Ghostbusters animated series going.
It's coming on and... Netflix.
Oh really?
It's already green. Yeah, it's already green lit, man. It's coming.
I thought I had. Yeah, I remember you talking about that actually. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nice. Full on.
Okay.
Ghost Court. When with the success of Afterlife, it kind of spawned all these different avenues for them to explore inside of Ghostbusters again as a franchise. Not only the movie stuff, animated, and then of course that game had been in the works for a long time, but that pivot that they made going into Afterlife with Jason Reitman taking it on and helming it after his father, and Ghost Corps getting a new breath of fresh air pushed into it, it kind of led to all of this stuff, and we're seeing the fruits of all of that work that is coming to bear at this point in time inside that franchise. And like you said, hopefully this gets over whatever financial hurdle they need to continue this franchise into something even more. They laid a lot of seeds and a lot of groundwork there inside of Ghostbusters, but it's something I'm looking forward to seeing more of. And of course, the animated series is coming.
There's no trailer for that, right? There's nothing.
No.
Okay.
No. I don't even know when it's meant to drop. Maybe 25. I have no clue on these things.
Well, I mean, seeing what Netflix did with He-Man, seeing, you know, what's going on with X-Men, I'm more excited for that now than you know, probably seeing a live action movie. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're going to talk about X-Men here in just a little bit. But before we get into that, let's jump into the DC side of the universe. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I kind of did a brief rundown of DC and Marvel, the MCU and the DCU, as to what was going on. And now we have a bit more of our 2024 slate, at least a better picture painted for us. And we're going to continue to get that in the next couple of weeks. So the first thing we're going to talk about is Joker 2, or Joker Folie à Deux. So we got a trailer they just announced today. We got a trailer coming on April 9th, so next Tuesday. And alongside of that announcement, they dropped the first poster. And so we're starting to see this very slow and steady rollout of this film that drops on October 4th of this year. It's probably one of the more anticipated comic book movies of the year, maybe one of the more anticipated movies of the year, given the success of the original Joker from Todd Phillips. And that was a $1 billion movie. Insane movie. I've only seen it once, and I've never had a desire to revisit it. Mm-hmm. But it does look like Joker and Joker 2 here is going to be picking up not right where they left off, but in a similar space. I've always said with Joker, with the first one there, that the thing I loved about it the most from a creative standpoint is that, you know, when we talked about it with, I think it was Carlos and Troy and myself, all of us had a different interpretation of what the end was. And them leaving it in a space where, you know, was that all in his head? Did that really happen? I love that element of it. And Folie à Deux, I actually looked it up because I had no idea what it meant. Like, it means, like, translated to English, folly of two. But, and this is just a pure definition from the internet. So it's also known as a shared psychosis or shared delusional disorder. It's a rare psychiatric syndrome in which symptoms of a delusional belief and sometimes hallucinations are transmitted from one individual to another.
Wow.
And so that's a really cool framing for what this movie is going to be, that idea of a shared psychosis or delusional disorder coming out of Joker in, of course, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker character, and that transmitting in some way, potentially in like whatever that Arkham Asylum is or whatever he was, the hospital, into what presumably is Lady Gaga's character in potentially Harley Quinn. So it seems like they're going to be playing with a very similar, at least piece to what Joker ended off with this idea of like, did this happen? Did this not happen? Is this movie happening? Is it all in his head? Is he making this up? as he meets this, what I'm presuming is some sort of like psychologist, or nurse or something, right? I don't know where they're framing this up from. And next week, trailer is actually going to give us likely a much better picture of what this movie is. Like, outside of the title, and the title again relating to some sort of disorder, delusion, we don't know what this is going to be. There's rumors that like this is a full musical, and this poster points a little bit at that with the dancing scene. There's Todd Phillips also shared something very similar on Valentine's Day, and having Lady Gaga in this, who's this preeminent singer and this voice, and she's been talking about some of the best work she's ever done is for this movie, and I think she's talking from a musical perspective. So this trailer is going to be very, very impactful for setting the tone for what this is going to be. But Ian, this being, I guess, taking from the title and extrapolating into it being maybe some shared delusional musical, that's going to be a pretty wild ride. And I'm having a hard time picturing it right now, what it actually could be. And if they're leaning fully into the concept of it being the first comic book movie musical.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, we've kind of talked about this a little before in the way that we don't really know what the movie's going to be. And I still feel like that because they seem to kind of give us stuff and then they take it away. It's kind of like, it's a musical. And then Lady Gaga comes out and says, wouldn't call it a musical. It might have some musical elements. And everyone's like, oh, wow, it's not a musical. And, you know, recently they said that there are apparently 15 well-known cover songs throughout the movie. So it's like, I don't really understand how that can happen. Like, you've got 15 very famous, well-known songs that are going to be in this. And are they performed? Are they sung? Are they, like, you know, how does that work? And it's a very interesting concept, and I'm excited for it. You know, seeing the poster, hearing Gaga saying that again, she said that she's even talking about writing a song for this movie or writing songs for the movie. And I think that's going to just bring people in right away. You know, you saw what that did with Top Gun Maverick as well, with that her song for that being a hit.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a very interesting concept as well, because I guess the kind of origin story of Harley is the fact that she was, you know, a doctor. And she was created by Joker in a way. So like, that's kind of what it sounds like it's going to be here, but it's this kind of transfer of some kind of delusion or some kind of mental, I don't know, illness or something that's somehow transferred to her for her to be that way. And I don't know what it is, if it's some kind of mass hysteria that Joker creates or what it is. And I mean, did you hear the sound clip that they released? Or I don't know where it came from.
No, I didn't. I missed that.
So there was like a sound clip that was released of Lady Gaga, and they were like, it's Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn. And I kind of listened to it, and I'm like, well, it's just Lady Gaga speaking softly. Like, it doesn't really sound like anything. It's just Lady Gaga. But she says something about like, she goes, you can do anything because you're the Joker or something like that. And it's like, wow, like, what is going on here? Has Joker got some kind of following? You know, has he, I don't know, like, has he created some kind of cult? I don't know what it is. It's very interesting.
It's going to be a fascinating exploration of the human mind, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be sitting, I guarantee, no matter what this trailer shows us, no matter what the build up to the movie is like, when I sit down to watch this, my first thought is going to be, none of this is actually happening. None of this is real. That's my baseline starting point. Like, this is all happening in his head. Like, he's in some padded room, boarded up, and he saw this, like, Harley Quinn, this doctor or whatever, once, and has made up this whole thing in his brain. And the musical spin on it is going to, at least from my perception, is even going to press harder on that this whole thing is just happening inside of this man's like broken brain, broken mind. And so that's what's going to be fascinating about this is, as you're watching it and this is sometimes where we fall victim, or at least I do fall victim to this, is where you're like, we talked about this before, your head's darting all over the screen. You're looking for Easter eggs, you're looking for this, you're looking for clues instead of just like consuming the movie. But I know I'm going to be looking for these elements of like inconsistencies and what's real, what's not. And I'm actually looking forward to that.
Existed in the first movie, and there were things 100%. That I didn't realize. There's stuff that I saw afterwards, you know, through YouTube breakdown of videos and stuff. And it's like, you know, certain people wearing clothes, like the taxi goes past with someone wearing the Joker mask, and the clothes that person's wearing is the woman that he saved on the train and stuff. And there's certain parts that they kind of put in there very subtly that you wouldn't really notice on your first watch unless you kind of really paying attention. Whereas this one sounds like it sounds like it's more obvious, you know, if they're singing and there's a musical going on in the street, you know, it's not real immediately, right?
Exactly.
But I don't know if they're going to spin it in a way that if it's just the two of them, you might think, wow, is it happening? You know, is it not happening? And, you know, is it something that's,
a shared delusion created through his shared delusion.
Yeah.
Like it's, I don't know.
It's an interesting concept, and it'll be interesting to see how they how it plays out. I'm quite interested to see how it begins, because just straight from that, you'll realize what's going on, just how the other one ended. Mm-hmm. You know, is it gonna start where that left off, or is he just gonna be in the cell? And in that sense, you kind of immediately know that what we saw at the end of the last movie didn't actually happen. So yeah,
exactly. I don't know, man. It's gonna be a cool one to watch. This is one of only two DC movies coming out this year, I believe. So it was Joker. What's the other one? Is there another one?
There's Penguin TV show.
The Penguin TV show. I feel like there's another movie. I can't remember. There's definitely. Oh no, maybe it's just Joker and Deadpool and Wolverine. This might be the only DC movie coming out this year. But this falls inside of their Elseworld stories, so this isn't connected to James Gunn's DCU. But he will, of course, be promoting it, and it's all falls under the umbrella. But this is set inside of their separate universe, the same way that Batman is, or the Batman is. And we're getting a build on that universe, jumping over to the Matt Reeves Batman universe. So this also sits outside of the newly developed James Gunn DCU that will be kicking off with the Creature Commandos and Superman and all the things there to follow that. But this Batman and Batman 2 and this Penguin trailer you're going to talk about fall inside of their own universe. So there's like the Joker universe, there's the Batman, Matt Reeves universe, and there's the DCU. So the Elseworld tales, and this isn't uncommon from a comic book perspective where you have, especially in DC, you have like the Black Label Elseworld tales, where it's an opportunity for a creative to take a character, pluck them out of canon, pluck them out of their respective universes and do something completely different in them without being bound or shackled by the chains of following existing stories or the nature of canon that is kind of a bit all over the place. They can just take them out and tell their own stories, origin or what have you. And so we got the Batman a couple years ago, wild success. Everyone absolutely loved it. Robert Pattinson just excelled, I think, in the role of Bruce Wayne. But inside of that movie, we got the character of the Penguin, who was introduced inside there, played by an unrecognizable, and still to this day, an unrecognizable Colin Farrell inside of that Penguin makeup. I cannot see him in this role. Like, there's very, maybe, I tried very hard watching this trailer to see, like, his eyes, maybe, and, like hole in the screen, taking out, like, the chubby cheeks and all that. I can't see past it. I couldn't see it in the Batman, but his role is building inside of this universe. So this is coming from Matt Reeves. This is now a TV show that will be debuting in late 24 on Max. I guess it's called, not HBO Max, but Max, their streaming service. This was greenlit in the aftermath of the success of the Batman and prior to the strikes and kind of the changing of the guard with James Gunn and Peter Safran moving into their roles as co-CEOs of DC Studios. But nonetheless, this universe is going to continue. And prior to the announcement of the Batman 2 getting delayed to 2026, we got our first trailer for the Penguin. And so this is going to be our brief interlude in between the Batman that came out in 2022 and the Batman 2 that's going to come out 40 years later in 26. So we're getting the Penguin. They're picking up essentially 1 week after the events of the Batman. And this is going to be exploring the Penguins, or as he's known, Oswald Cobblepot, inside of Gotham City's criminal underworld. So this is going to be a full exploration of that character. We got a trailer, like I said, that dropped a couple weeks ago, and it started to give us an idea of the tone and vibe of this. It's going to be interesting because when I look at it, it's kind of got like that gangster feel to it, of course. The underworld is very dark. I'm very curious how this plays out. I'm sure the quality is phenomenal. I'm sure the story is great, but it's hard when you're going and you're kind of reducing this Batman universe down to just the Penguin and focusing around the underworld and like the different crime families and all this. Like, I think it looks great. The trailer just didn't hook me. Like, I'm gonna watch this eventually, but I can't say that the trailer got me to the point where it's like, this is a must watch for me. Like, I kind of get the gist of where it's going. Did it grab you in any capacity, or are you kind of like, we'll wait and see and we'll check this out when it drops?
I feel the same as you. I will watch it immediately, mainly because of the influence of the Batman. You know, I like this idea of the Penguin, and I like this version of him, and I like the world that it's set in. But I do feel very similar to you. I feel the same way because we got a kind of trailer, a behind the scenes kind of trailer thing last year, and the teaser was very, very similar.
Dialogue.
It's just a monologue. Yeah. It is, yeah. And I mean, what he says, I think, is the interesting part. You know, he's talking about this past gangster that people looked up to and people respected, and they had this parade for him afterwards. And you know, he says, you know, imagine being, you know, this remembered, or you know, this popular. And it's kind of like it shows his obsession with symbols, which I think is kind of cool. You know, it gives him like a Batman style status. You know, he has this kind of image. He wants to have this image. He wants to be known. He wants to be loved, and he wants to be feared. He wants to rule his neighborhood and be a familiar name. And I think that's kind of a good, well-developed setup for a villain. That's a real life villain, like something that's not kind of supernatural or something that's not fantastical. So I do like that element, but it is, again, it's very dark. Everything's always set at night. Everything looks very similar throughout the whole thing. The rest of it is just people shouting and screaming.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't really know, like, for example, if you take the Batman movie and you take out the Batman, and then you take out the Batmobile, and you take out Catwoman, what you have left is, it's okay, it's cool, but like, it's very samey, you know what I mean? It's like, it's there's not really anything I don't know, it's not captivating. It's not something that kind of draws you in, that kind of wants you to watch it, I guess.
Yeah.
Because the world is just a very dark, dismal, rainy world. Yeah. And I don't know what they're going to do with this Penguin. Now, I mean, it does have some kind of Soprano vibes, but
absolutely,
Batman universe. And I guess the whole focus here has to just be on character development and story. And hopefully Matt Reeves can pull that off. Usually the stuff that he does do has interesting visuals, like the Batman or like the apes.
Yeah.
And that also adds that extra oomph, that kind of extra element to it. And with this, they're kind of taken out. And I think the whole focus is definitely on the Penguin and Colin Farrell. That's why we get to see so much of him. In both trailers, it's just him, majority of it. And everything's going to rely on his performance in this movie.
It's like, where can they progress? Like, you take, I think you're right to point out that the monologue that he does deliver really narrows down his goals and objectives, like what he is chasing in life. But how do you extrapolate him going from where he is to this revered individual inside of the underworld? Maybe, I don't know, does he run for mayor? I don't know. But how do you stretch that out by for 8 episodes inside of this. Like, that monologue alone, you could have put that inside of Batman 2, and you would have got the gist of Oswald and just not seen his development. And so I'm not trying to tear this down or anything like that, but just, and you know, I always get accused of being like the Marvel fanboy and all this stuff, and but like on a look at this, I'm just like, where's the hook? The hook is in the universe, all, like the Penguin himself, like being portrayed by Colin Farrell and Matt Reeves, right? Like the hook's like as being like a Sopranos type story and all this. Yeah, I'm like I said, I didn't find anything inside of the trailer outside of that monologue to be something where it's like, this is a must watch day one because it adds X, Y, and Z to this universe or to the story of this character. You know what I mean? Like, it just did not grab me the way that I was hoping it would. It just feels like they could just continue shooting after the Batman. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it does. And it's for me as well, like this, the stuff that's going on with the Batman 2 as well kind of makes me a little bit concerned. You know, it'll be interesting when this comes out to see how people react to it and whether it is a great show, because you know, a lot of people have been waiting for the Batman and they keep pushing it back, and they talk about issues with script development. I don't really know what that means. They talked about not having enough stages to film the movie and having it pushed back, which just sounds kind of nonsensical to me. And yeah, like I don't really know the future of that, like with the Batman now not having any kind of idea when that's coming out, possibly 2026, but then you've got the Brave and the Bold
confusing
movie, and that's going to be confusing. And are they really going to release that before? If that's the case, we're not going to see the kind of James Gunn universe Batman until I don't know, God knows when. If this show doesn't hit, or if there are issues with it, that could be an indicator of where the Batman 2 is going, and maybe a reasons why the movie has been delayed, or why people like James Gunn might be a little iffy on the progression of that. Because even some of the stories that have come out of what the Batman 2 is going to be, the kind of Clayface rumor that came out, like it just sounds like it doesn't sound great.
And it all kind of like this is what the problem you run into. And like I'd even say that Nolan's could have run into this. When you have a very grounded universe, the villains, like if you look at Nolan, Joker, Bane, and Scarecrow, they're all mentally imposing villains where they're like playing and screwing with Batman and Bruce Wayne's mind and all this kind of stuff. And Bane had the physicality to him and all that. But like this universe runs the risk of like, we had a psychopath serial killer in the Riddler. We have a psychopath serial killer with the Joker. We have a psychopath serial killer with Clayface. You know what I mean? Like you run the risk. You have the Penguin, who is, you know, this crime lord that's a killer. You know, you have the risk of like every villain when you can't go into maybe some of the more fantastical stuff like your Mr. Freezes and all this kind of stuff. You run the risk of everything kind of feeling the same all the time. Like the villains feeling the same all the time. Like it is a mental attack on Gotham. It is a mental attack on Bruce Wayne and Batman. It's hard to dislocate from that sometimes.
And but, then like us talking about Joker 2 as well, like Joker's another one you have to think about. We did get a version of Joker in the Batman. You know, if that Joker ever comes out, like if that Joker is going to be in Batman 2 as a side character, or if there is going to be a Batman 3 with that Joker, then you also have to think, you also have the Joaquin Phoenix Joker. And then are you saying that in the Gunn universe, we're not going to have a Joker? Because I'm pretty sure he has that. Like, I mean, Gunn will want to have all the main, you know, Rogues Gallery. He's gonna want all the villains because he wants. Because we've seen that what he's talking about with the Superman Legacy, or Superman as it's called. So you're gonna have three Jokers running around at the same time, which is gonna be even more confusing than the two Batman. So
yeah, there's a book called Three Jokers. It's actually quite
good. Oh, well, that's true. That's a good use. That's a good point. Yeah, maybe that's what they're doing.
So, would just to shed a little light on the actually what you're talking about with regards to Gunn and scripts and all that. So, I pulled this off of Gunn. He commonly goes on Threads or something to that effect, and will just like debunk things, and he'll provide a little bit of insight into the background behind the curtains, if you will, of DC Studios. And he was very explicit in saying, I don't think it was directed at Batman per se, but it was directed at some of the Elseworld stuff. And he said, we won't greenlight a film until we have a finished script we're happy with. And in general, we won't cast a film until the script is finished. This is why some projects are moving faster than anticipated and others more slowly. It's always going to be a quality first, no matter what. So this is actually compared. James Gunn's always been, I think, inside of this box. But if you look at Marvel Studios productions, and I'm presuming some of the tail end DCU productions, we hear about script rewrites on the fly as they're shooting this thing. Like Thor Love and Thunder, I think, suffered from this. Multiverse of Madness suffered from this, where they're basically like writing stuff right up until the last shot was being done. Yeah. And it seems like Gunn is taking an approach like they will not put anything into production until they have like a sealed freaking script in front of them that they are completely and utterly happy with. And that becomes their Bible. Everything is followed to a T inside of that. And so he, James Gunn, seems to be pushing his filmmaking tendencies towards the new creators that are entering DC. And this is likely why the Batman got delayed up until October 2nd right now, 2026, is that they weren't happy with the script. And so they've said, this film will not go into production until we're happy with the script. And he was very explicit in saying that it all falls under him. Like, he is responsible, although it's a different universe. It's not DCU. All DC films fall under DC Studios in some capacity.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. And that kind of tells a lot as well, because, you know, they cast Supergirl, and I guess that means they don't have the full script for that. So I guess that means that she's going to appear in his Superman movie.
Superman, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it just makes me wonder what is Matt Reeves doing? Like, can't they get someone to help him with the script? Like,
it's a process, man. He's just chipping away at the story.
But when you have like the first movie, which makes like 800 million, like, you think that's your priority at the moment, because there's nothing that comes close to that in the DC world at the moment. Like, they should be getting it out. And the fact that Gunn will want his Batman at some point, especially the nearest future, so you want to get this Elseworlds Batman out as soon as possible, because to leave room for his more fantastical version, you know, his more kind of colorful version, his Bat Family version. I just feel like it needs to be out as soon as possible. Otherwise, you're going to start confusing people again, man. And we just don't want to have the whole DC.
We just got out of that.
Like, it's like, you don't want that again, man. Like, come on. It's cool that these things are still going forward, but it's just a funny. Even with the Penguin, we don't know when it's coming out. Full. That's all they say.
Late 24. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's odd to me. Like, they must have a
date. April, and you don't have a release date for. Yeah. Like, I don't.
I have a release date for my podcast conference. You guys should have a release date for your filmed tens of millions dollar movie or TV show.
This is why in Japan we get stuff like 6 months late, because no one can actually choose a release date, and it changes so many times that Japan is like, forget it, man. We'll just wait.
Wait until we know, like, until we have
only
like
Japanese
the film.
Movies. We don't know when to put them in the cinema, because you can't make your bloody minds up, man.
Oh man, we're gonna continue to get to this scramble of films, and one of the films that has actually suffered from quite a lot of delays is Marvel's Thunderbolts. But we did get our first look via you called it a TikTok-y style of video, a live stream of sorts from a phone from one of the stars of the film. And I think this really frames her up as being potentially the star of the film. And that's Florence Pugh returning as Yelena from not only Black Widow, but also, spoiler alert, an end credit scene in Hawkeye, where she is approached by Kate Bishop. So we get to see her back. The video itself is a kind of a, what do you call it, a selfie style of video where she's kind of walking through the set of the Thunderbolts movie that is now filming down in Atlanta and will jump to the screens on May 2nd of 2025. Now, in this video, we get a good look at her Black Widow-esque uniform. It looks a lot like the Infinity War uniform, the green to me with the batons in the back. And she kind of walks through the set. She approaches the director, and you get to see kind of a little bit of a still image of her in the background. The director looks a bit shocked that she's doing it. It's quite funny. Everyone looks a bit cagey in around the set. This was, again, reposted by Marvel Studios. So I think this is kind of a clever way of them showing that they're doing stuff. They're moving forward. And they also, they're of note inside of this, one of the big significant things that are coming out outside of potentially what's behind the big wall that she is there is the slight name change, which I thought was a mistake at first, but it's now Thunderbolts with an asterisk beside it, whatever that means. That was on the back of the director's chair. That was on the post that Marvel Studios put up as well. And so there's some weird thing with an asterisk. I don't know what it means. And then the last bit, like I said, she shows this big wall, which is rumored to be the Vault, which is one of the superhero prisons from the Marvel comic book universe. And it's rumored that Sentry, who has been a character that was cast potentially, but maybe not anymore. But it is, again, rumored that that character, who is a Superman knockoff, if you will, inside of Marvel, will be the main fixture, main villain potentially for this Thunderbolts team to be chasing down in some capacity. And for those that don't know, Thunderbolts, although taking the name from General Thunderbolt Ross, they're kind of a Suicide Squad-esque style of team of anti-heroes and villains. So we'll see, kind of led by your favorite, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, the Valentina character, who has popped in and out of a lot of the Disney Plus shows. You get Red Guardian, who's played by David Harbour. You get Ghost, US Agent, Taskmaster, and Bucky Barnes, all alongside of Yelena. That is, of course, Florence Pugh's character here inside of this. So it's kind of this ragtag mixture of random ass villains from all, like, if I'm being honest with you, I like some of it. I don't like all of these characters. I don't love the Taskmaster and the Ghost.
That's what I love the most. That's the thing I love the most.
Really?
I love the fact that it's, this is what's so funny with this, especially taking all the people that people were crapping on, like all those villains, and put them in a movie together. It's like everybody hated Taskmaster because
I did not
what
like
they did
Taskmaster
with the character. You know, how they changed the comics, you know, who the
I don't even care
was.
That they changed, like, I just didn't like the robotic nature of Taskmaster. I don't care that they made it, like, a woman, and then they made it different from the comic books and all that stuff. It just felt so robotic to me. And the Ghost, like, from Ant-Man.
Well, the Ghost, that's another one. I just love the fact you've taken the Ant-Man movie that everybody hated. Yeah. And then you take that villain and put that villain in the movie. I actually like that villain. I do think that, you know, Ava Starr Ghost, I think if we're given a better movie, would have been a more interesting. I like the look of that character, and I kind of like her skill set. I like the actress as well. So I do think, like, I think it might be a case of them making these better. You know, Taskmaster, she's being taken out of, she's not brainwashed anymore. So she might be, you know, a lot more kind of likable in this new one. Valentina, like, I think that's, I don't know about that. Like, nobody likes that character.
If I had to take a wild stab in the air, I would say that she is going to be a very different character in this. I would guess they heard the feedback very loud and clear on that. Yeah. And I would say they're going to pivot this character into something that's a bit more digestible. That would be just my guess, because what she appeared, she kind of did like the, we're going and collecting people to make a team Nick Fury style of thing in a couple movies, right? Like, she went after US Agent to a degree. I can't remember. She was in Was she in Falcon and the Winter Soldier? I think very briefly. Yeah, with U.S. Agent, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, she does her meandering about through a couple different movies, and that collects various villains and antiheroes and all that. I, to be honest with you, I'm more excited about Bucky Barnes, Sebastian Stan being back. I really liked U.S. Agent Wyatt Russell, and David Harbour as Red Guardian. And Yelena, those four are kind of the ones that I'm very excited about to see how they interact, specifically a more lighthearted David Harbour against Sebastian Stan, against Wyatt Russell. Yeah. Like, I there's going to be some really cool dynamics in there. And then I really hope you're right that both Taskmaster and Ghost get elevated inside of this film into something that maybe pivots them away from what they were. They just both felt like Taskmaster was fine and Ghost was fine, but I don't see how they fit into this dynamic. And I really hope I'm wrong. I really hope to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have got a lot of characters in this. And I do think from that video that Florence Pugh released, it kind of points in the direction that she's going to be the more kind of focal point of yeah, this in absolutely. A way. And I think that's a good move for them to take. And the other guys, they can be kind of supporting cast. And I mean, you could still end up with a pretty good movie. I guess it's going to be quite funny at times, especially with like Yelena and Red Guardian. And that's I like that you said, you know, you got that kind of contrast with these characters as well. Like, it'd be cool to see Bucky, you know, interacting with like a Yelena or a Red Guardian. And, you know, that's kind of like you're going to have like a Captain America and a Red Guardian in the same team. So
I'm really looking forward to this one. Like,
yeah,
it's one of my top most anticipated.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, once it was announced, a lot of people were like, why are we getting this? And it wasn't, Marvel didn't back down, you know, they've kind of gone forward with it. So they seem to have some confidence in this movie. And I think with the time at the moment where a lot of people are kind of falling away from these movies and people are saying that, you know, the latest phases just aren't really doing it for them. Like, I feel that they do have to have some confidence in this movie. You know, they seem to want this movie to come out. So I've got a feeling it's going to be good. They've got a decent script there. I think the thing with Pugh is great. I mean, she's just so hot now. Like, everybody loves Pugh. And I mean, putting her at the front of this, having her making these videos behind the scenes, I think that's immediately going to generate some buzz and people get a lot more excited for it. And I mean, it looks good. I think that video, to be honest, I think it was scripted a little.
I think unequivocally that was very much a planned, and yeah, maybe she took a few liberties, but the whole thing is definitely
her showing the screens and stuff. I'm like, they wouldn't let her do that. Like, they knew she was gonna show
something.
It was
freeze framed on a picture of her. Like,
her. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, exactly. And it's just you know, I know everyone looked a bit cagey on the set and all that, but Marvel Studios reposted this. To me, it's just guerrilla marketing without them being explicit about anything. They've got what will be the star of the show, showing that they're having fun and that this is meant to be lighthearted. I love that, you know, we are more than a year out from this dropping in May of 25, which is usually their big slot. And so they're giving lots of breathing room for this to develop, to work the post. And ultimately, I think with their pivot recently towards, again, very similar to what Gunn had expressed in DC, quality over quantity, that's been reflected at Kevin Feige's level, at Bob Iger's level. And so there's a lot, I think, of support of going slow and making better movies. And the thing that's cool about this, you know, a lot of people call it like the dollar store, Suicide Squad and all this kind of stuff, but with more famous people in it, they are doing different stuff again. You look at Deadpool and Wolverine, you look at this and some of the other movies that they got on the slate with like Blade and Fantastic Four being a period piece. They are changing up the formula, I think, from what we saw in Phase 4, which felt, it was all the characters we're familiar with, but similar stories. I think a lot of these movies are going to take very different approaches. They're going to feel more Phase 2-ish, Phase 1-ish, where you have a bunch of different characters in very different movies that have some threads that connect. And I think we're going back to that. Like, if you look at Phase 1 and Phase 2, you've got everything from, you know, Winter Soldier to Guardians to Thor and the original Cap movies and Iron Man. Like, everything is kind of a bit all over the place. You have period pieces mixed in with modern day stuff, mixed in with fantastical stuff and grounded stuff with Iron Man. I think that's what they're getting back towards with some of these movies. And I'm really excited. This, like I said, is one of my more... I'm actually, at this point in time, I'm looking more forward to this than I am the Captain America movie.
Yeah, me too. 100%. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a huge... The Winter Soldier, Captain America Winter Soldier show was good enough. But, like, I'm still not really sold on... not the character. I mean, I like Mackie as the character, but yeah, I don't really know where that can go.
You have that Chris Evans withdrawal.
Yeah, I think that this Thunderbolts just sounds a little bit more interesting. It kind of sounds like another Guardians-y kind of thing, or you know, Suicide Squad kind of
thing.
And I think that'd be kind of cool. Like you saying about Sentry, like I wasn't aware. I knew Sentry was being cast. I didn't realize. I mean, is that still going forward with the casting?
Well, Steven Yeun. No, yeah. Apparently he dropped out because of the delays in the production because of the strikes and all that. So
that was the one. Well, that's it. People didn't like the casting of that, and I think you got to go back and start getting people's
Henry Cavill. I'm telling you, wouldn't that be? Yeah. Hilarious?
Well, you got to just have a good-looking blonde dude that like. Yeah, Cavill dyes hair blonde. It'd be kind of funny. That'd be hilarious if they did that.
Yeah, given that it's like a massive Superman ripoff. Yeah.
And it just, I'd love all the Snyder guys to see that. Like the
Oh, it'd be so good.
Wow. He's gone to the MCU and they've made a better version of Superman.
And he's bad. They've made a better version of a bad Superman.
Yeah. But they've got to be a little careful with like overpowering these heroes. I think that's another problem.
That's gonna like the problem with Sentry. It's like having the Suicide Squad fight Superman. Like it doesn't make sense. Like you have all of these guys that yes, some of them have amped up power sets or stronger this, that, and the other thing, super soldiers. But when you're fighting this guy that can, you know, fly around the sun, and it just doesn't make sense to me. And so that's
the thing, they can pull it off, I guess. That's where you have stuff like the Guardians. I mean, some of those are pretty tough guys, but you know, they're taking on gods, and then you have, you know, Suicide Squad taking on Starro, kill the Justice League. You know, they still pull it off to a degree. So if they can think of a way around it, you know, that'd be interesting. Like to tell an origin story of, I don't know how they'd get the origin story of Sentry in there. It'd be strange to have like this, the vault, and have these super villains in there and us not know where they came from. Is the vault, is it on Earth? I don't know enough about it.
They're all on Earth. I can't remember which one the vault is. But like, if you go back, this is why it's such a good show. Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the cartoon show that aired for a couple years, 2011 and 12 maybe. It starts with Sentry and him being, oh no, that's Gravitron, not Sentry. Never mind. Different thing. But I think that's the concept they're going for, where he's like been locked away, key thrown away. And it turns out he's bad, but not super bad, but good. I don't know. We'll see how this shakes out.
What was the prison that was in Infinity War? That's not the vault, right? The one that was in the water, in the ocean, and it had everybody was in there. And
what's that from? That's from Civil War.
Oh, Civil War. Sorry, Civil War.
Civil War. Where they, and then Cap breaks them all out and all that. Then they all go on the run. I don't know if that's a vault. I can't remember the other one. There's a couple different ones. The vault, and it might be that one. It'd be cool to I'd like revisiting stuff, so I'd be down for that. I think Marvel's on its road back. Call me an optimist. Call me what you want, but I think the MCU is on a very clear path back to its glory days, with the likes of Deadpool and Wolverine, Fantastic Four, Thunderbolts. You've got, of course, this Cap 4 movie, which I'm interested to see where it goes. So lots of great stuff on the horizon. But present day, Marvel Studios Animation, I will say. So Marvel Studios had just really dipped their toe into the animation in the last couple of years with, of course, the What If series, which is, again, another highly praised piece theory. We've got X-Men 97, which you're going to talk about here in just a second. But also on the slate, we've got the X-Men, what is it called now? It was called Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Sorry, X-Men, I said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, and then you've got the Wakanda series that's coming out as well, I believe, this year. So there's a big animation slate and a lot of power being put inside of this within Marvel Studios, which is different than it used to be. Marvel Studios didn't really foray or jump into the animation until recently. But X-Men 97, we spoke about it a few weeks ago on the cusp of it dropping and the excitement behind it and the trailers that we saw and how good it looked. You've consumed this. You're presently wearing a beautiful X-Men animated series.
Yeah, man, I never put on this hoodie. Like, people can't see because it's a bright yellowy orange. Like, when I wear this outside, like, I think everybody looks at me just because of how bright it is. Like, you have to wear sunglasses to actually view it. But I put out the cover because, I mean, it's a great hoodie. It's got the whole team on the back, and it's from the 92 show. X-Men's back, man.
It is back. We're going to do a spoiler-free discussion. I've not watched it, but I wanted Ian to talk about it because I think my perception here is that it was good and it's worth a watch. And I kind of just want him to give us that spoiler-free discussion on it. So, Ian, tell us a little bit about X-Men 97. Like I said, spoiler-free, but amp this thing up if it's something you think people should be seeing.
Yeah. Like, it is definitely something people should watch. And I think people were a little worried at first in the way that maybe they hadn't finished the original show. You know, people thought that they had to get up to date with that. And I think that's something that's really great with this one, is that if you have watched that original show up until the end, man, I can't remember. Like, it was so long ago. It's ridiculous.
Like, it is on Disney Plus.
It ended in 96, right? But like...
yeah.
I mean, even going back, I went back and started to watch the first season, and it can be a little bit jarring just because the animation's a bit older and it comes off a bit dated at first. I have not watched the whole thing again, but I love what they've done with this, is they make references to some things in that past, but they kind of tell it in a way that you don't need to see what came before. And yeah, like, overall, the show is just amazing. Like, I love that they've gone back to being animated. A lot of the animated stuff that we've got coming out recently has just been really great. And what's the good thing with animation is that they can do so much with it. You know, they can tell certain stories and they can make things a little bit over the top and crazy, and it doesn't really take away, you know, you don't question it. And I think that's one great thing with this show, is that it's so well written, that there's so much in every episode, so much happens, but everything works. Everything flows really well. Everything, the stories that they tell, you know, are meaningful. There's only been 3 episodes and every single one of them.
Oh, I forgot this is just dropping week by week.
It's dropped weekly. Yeah, it's not the whole thing. So we've only had three. Yeah. And every episode is just, man, it's blown my mind, man. Like, when I first turned it on and the music kicked in, it starts with this little intro and I'm like, have they changed the theme song? And then it drops. And man, I was just up on my feet, like, whoa. Like,
it's just... I love it.
And it's one of those shows that, like, I can't... Do you know when, like, it pops up saying skip the intro?
Yeah.
Gives you that option? Man, they should take that thing off, because there's nobody who skips that intro. And they change it. They change different things happen each time. So on it, like, at certain parts.
Oh, really?
It's like, whoa, like, this is, you gotta watch it, man. Like, you gotta sit through it.
I gotta catch up.
Yeah. But like, man, it's a brilliant balance of like action. Some of the action in this, like, if it was transferred into live action, it'd probably be the best superhero movie you'd ever seen. It's funny, it's got really good humor in it. And the story is really good. It's really impactful. Like, you know, they give each character kind of their stories and a nice balance. And they have them playing off each other. You've got a lot of the original voice cast, which is really cool. And I didn't think I'd recognize voices at first, but like you do. And even the new people sound very much like the first. It doesn't feel like you've kind of stepped away from the show since you were kids. And what I think the thing that I love the most about it is that it's actually it seems like it's actually directed a little bit more towards people in their teens or even adults. And
like that the generation really does... that watched this that is yeah, now in
the well, that's what it,
40s.
It kind of takes me back to the day of watching cartoons in the 80s and 90s where they were a little darker and they had
edgy,
some adult
yeah.
themes and they were edgy. You know, we were allowed to watch RoboCop when we were kids and see violent stuff happen and there were sexual references in things and we weren't kind of like, you can't show that to children. You know, we're all okay and we got through and we never...
I never became... thought a thing.
And that's what I love with this. It's, man, it's some of the themes are very adult. There are stuff, there's violence in this. There's horror elements to this, which you look at and like, wow, like that's pretty gross. And then there's actual like stuff that's quite, I mean, like the Goblin Queen. She was so, man, she was made to look so sexy. And, you know, she's like kind of chatting up the guys and she's like feeling them up and she's kissing.
Holy people. Shit.
And it's like, wow, like this is so cool. Like what they've done with this, you know, they've taken Madeline Pryor and actually made the comic book version into the show and not caring about what people, you know, think. You know, they're not going to start having people criticizing kids. Our kids can't watch this. So I think it's brilliant, man. Like, I absolutely love it. The story that they've got, they've introduced a certain villain. And I think that's a really cool thing. I have a feeling that they're doing this in a way that they're trying to get people familiar with this villain and certain characters so that when they bring them into a live-action version later on, they're not going to have to go back and teach us all these things again. And you often see these things happen with these shows. You know, they give us that little introduction, they kind of ease us into it, and then we get it in full force later on in the movies. So yeah, like for me, it's the thing I look forward to every week the most, for sure.
Well,
you know, the two things I look forward to the most are animated X-Men and Invincible, both incredible shows. But it kind of shows that in 30-minute episodes, if you have really good writers, you can create something and you can present something that's truly, that's really, really amazing. And it's a shame that, you know, we don't always get that in the live action stuff sometimes, and we don't always
it's
get that in the movies. Because
you
why
think it's
can't
like the
they...
the liberties that they can take with animation that they don't, they're not as constrained by, say, like things like set or stunts,
yeah,
all that kind of costume cost, of course.
Yeah.
It must be it, right? Like where you can...
Yeah, I guess so. But this is like going back to what we talked about right at the start with the Ghostbusters stuff. Like you have all these different characters and you have a two-hour movie. And I just feel like some characters didn't get enough attention, or, you know, you don't... No character gets the full kind of... like any kind of character development by the end, or the amount that they deserved or that you want. Whereas you watch something like this, and I don't know if it's because they're quite familiar characters, but every single character is very different and they go through certain things throughout the story, which is changing their responses with each other, to each other. And you know, I just felt like it's a really great balance of such a large team of characters. And to do that every single week, you know, in these 30-minute episodes, I thought the first one was amazing. Like, it had this crazy action scene, which they released in advance on YouTube, I think, as a clip. I thought, man, is this just going to be a one-off? Like, it can't ever be as good as this. And then the second one just was even better. And then the third episode was just so complex and so interesting. The imagery in it, the dialogue in it, some of the things that are said in it, it's so quotable, and it's like, wow, who wrote this? This is insane. Like, this is so bloody amazing. So yeah. Jeez, man, like, man, everybody should go out and watch this. And
well, it's good, it's good to know. I totally forgot that it wasn't a full dump.
Yeah,
it was week by week, and so that means that those out there that aren't watching or haven't watched it, like me, we're only 3 weeks behind, so we're only, you got an hour and a half, we can squeeze this in. Okay, I'm pumped about this. I want to get this viewing in and get caught up, because I have not watched a TV show like consistently in what feels like forever. Like, we don't have cable or anything like that anymore, so we don't sit down, and we watched we did watch Ricky Stenicki that new Prime movie. Yeah.
Okay.
It's funny. We sat down last week and we're like, okay, we just want something stupid. We poured a few drinks and we're just like, okay, let's just watch John Cena do his thing. But yeah, I need to get in this. I didn't even finish Echo. I got to finish Echo. Man, I got so much catching up to do. But
man, forget Echo. Just watch X-Men.
I will watch X-Men first, but I want to finish Echo because I need to frame myself up for just being the completest inside of the MCU.
Yeah. It's funny because there are a lot of TV shows out there. It's just that a lot of them aren't really getting as much attention as they should. I mean, Disney just released one called Renegade Now. And I watched that and, man, I really enjoyed it. Like, it's a shame that more people don't know about this. They didn't seem to promote it at all. But it's kind of a superhero TV show. It's
crazy to me that they can pump millions of dollars into a show and no one knows about it. Like, yeah. When I say, like, I'm sure there's lots of people.
Well, Netflix are professionals at that. They don't even get
on Netflix for promotion is a thing will pop up on your phone. It'll be like, trailer for Ricky Stenicki is out. And then it'll be like, I get a pop up on my phone 2 weeks later. Movie is now on Netflix. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, I always just go to new releases. I'm like, what's this? And then, like, you watch it or you start watching it or you look it up. It's like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. What is this? And then you watch it. I'm like, why is nobody talking about this? This is mental.
It is crazy when you think about that some things just get lost in, like, and the circles that we run in are different than maybe the circles that those are appealing to. In regards to, you were very focused on, you know, nerd culture and pop culture and all that kind of stuff. But it's funny that some of the stuff can just be dropped on Netflix. And when did this come out? May 2023? Why don't I know about this?
Like, yeah, with X-Men, I do feel like just because of the animated style, they do, like, I don't know if they must realize, but it feels as if they don't realize that it is going to appeal to a lot of people. And actually, even if you're not into the first show, if you don't know that much about the X-Men, I do think if you sit down and watch it, it's very much like Invincible. It doesn't have the extreme violence that Invincible has, but it does have that same kind of writing where you do become very invested in the characters very quickly. And the stories that they tell with the characters are kind of very, they're compelling stories that, you know, would fit within the cinematic universes. So, like, I don't know why they're not really pushing these things, because it seems like a lot of people who do sit down and watch them really enjoy them. And people are really going for animated stuff now. Like, animated stuff is doing really well. You had the Turtles, you had Spider-Verse, you got Invincible, you had that Blue-Eyed Samurai. And, you know, I think that's, like you said, with animated stuff, they can take things further. You know, they don't have to have the huge budgets, and they can tell stories that and give you those images that you probably wouldn't be able to pull off without a massive budget with a live action movie.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, there it is. Go check out X-Men 97 over on Disney Plus. 3 weeks in, I guess this week will be week number 4, because I think it drops on Wednesdays, is it not?
Yeah.
So it's out. You're gonna go watch it right now. It's out in Japan. It's out in the future, guys.
I think we've talked about this before. That's not how time difference works, right?
It is. Like, you're in the future.
I don't get things earlier. I get them at the same time as everybody else. It just seems later to me because I'm in the future, right?
You're in the future. It's already out in Japan. And there's nothing you can say that is going to change my mind and the fact that you're in the future. So when I come to Japan, I'll be flying into the future.
Yeah.
Back to the future, if you will.
I know exactly what's going to happen to you in the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
Already.
Like, if something happens, if the world explodes, DM me, man. So I just have some time to figure life out before it gets to me. All right, guys. There's your lesson in time travel on the Nerd Room podcast here. It's been a pleasure, as always, chatting with everyone. And I am so eternally thankful for everyone coming back each and every week and just hanging out with us and talking nerd. I absolutely love this, and we hope that, like always, you guys can take away just a moment of escapism or pleasure inside of this banter that Ian and I do every single week. And we will be back next week talking definitely the Joker 2 trailer and a whole bunch more nerd stuff. So please, please come on back and hang out with us. So, Ian, my good friend, with all of that being said, for the Nerd Room, I'm Tim.
And I'm Ian.
And thank you so much for entering the Nerd Room. We'll be right back.